Well, yeah, I didn't bring 500 Bibles, so that's okay. A reminder.
I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to go around the circle. You're just going to share your name. You're going to share something that's changed your life. Could be good, bad, big, small, doesn't matter. Share your name and share something that's changed your life. We're doing this for a couple reasons. Number one, so we get to know each other a little bit, get to know each other's names, and so we get into the habit of sharing out loud. Sharing something that's personal to you, sharing something other than the weather, okay? Okay. My name's Paul. When I was 21 years old, a man and a retired pastor in my church gave me a big old box of books. He said, hey, I'm selling my library. If you want any of it, you are more than happy to have it. Being the Bible book junkie that I am, this is like, you know, heaven. But within those books was a stack of books that I have carried with me everywhere I've gone because they were just something that God had used to grab a hold of me as far as spiritual formation and the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. John, your turn.
All right, I am John. Probably one of the biggest things, other than being married to my wonderful wife and our son, would have been my weekend of the Emmaus.
All right.
I attended.
Yeah, when was that?
That's 2012, correct, Brandon?
Yeah.
So.
All right. I like it, thank you. Your name and something that changed your life.
I am Barb Moore, and probably the most significant thing that changed my life was when my mom was diagnosed with cancer.
I'll get you, right? Would you call that
everything.
Good or bad?
Both.
Both, yeah.
Okay. My name is Brandon Ward, and I've been a lot of things, but obviously. 2010, when my soon-to-be wife and I woke up one morning and I said, let's go check out that church. Pastor Wheeler at Lockington United Methodist Church. He had officiated a wedding of some friends of ours, and we thought that was somebody that we could vibe with. And yeah, haven't left the church since. Thank God.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. Mrs. King.
Amanda, I will say my kids. We had our oldest when I was just barely 17, and my life could have gone a very different direction. Because of her, it went that way. So, yeah, I'll see my kids.
God has a way. God has a way.
Elaine Brown, I was going to say becoming a mom. It's a big, big one.
You're going to stick with that answer?
Yeah.
All right, just making sure. Because you said, I was going to say this. And like, I didn't know, like, I was going to say this, but then I'm like, all right, but so you're going to stick with that. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yes. Sir.
Paul, 100% marriage with Elaine, you know, changed my life for the good. But I'd have to say kind of the foundation to put me where I'm at right now would be the military.
Okay.
So going in the military, spending the time I did in the military. I was one of those kids that needed it.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Steve. I would say stepping away from the Catholic Church and being encouraged to read and learn for myself.
Okay.
About what the Bible says. Is huge.
Getting change. In the Word for yourself.
Yep. Not just being fed.
That happens in other churches too, not just the Catholic.
Yeah. But for me and my experience was the Catholic.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Jason. Something that changed my life would have been back in 2013. We were at a convention down in Texas. Me, my sister, my brother, a few other people, good, great friends. We had a Sunday morning service there with Michael W. Smith, and I was singing along with the songs. My little sister looks at me and says, you know, I've been afraid to ask you to come back to church, but I really think you need to come back. Definitely changed.
You gotta like Michael W. Smith.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Take one of these and pass them around. One of the key disciplines and facets of discipleship is our ability to communicate who we are and where we're at. It doesn't seem like it's complicated, but we will make it complicated. We will, in fact, share almost anything other than this is where we at, or this is where I am, or this is what I'm going through. And so you can expect as we gather together more and more, sharing is just a part of the rhythm. We'll start small and we're going to work our way on. And it's between you and God to figure out how things need to be shared in community. You have in front of you a shape. It's a circle. You're going to find a few more shapes along our journey. The shapes give you a mnemonic, a means by which to remember something that's important. We're going to hang some things on that circle tonight. And this is a shape we're going to come back to for the next 2 months. This is a foundational instruction, meaning you're really not going to get away from this for the next 9 months. And as you continue to grow in Christ and you help others grow, this is going to be in the back of your head, understanding, oh, someone is going through something. This is what needs to happen as far as the conversation goes. Life moments, okay? Top of the page, Mark chapter 1 says what? Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let me read that quote one more time. The time is fulfilled. Okay, we need to understand what that means. The kingdom of God is at hand. We need to understand what that means. Repent. We need to understand what that means. And believe the gospel. We need to understand what that means. There's two ways that Scripture uses the word time. Okay. Time as in a linear progression of events. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thursday. Progression of events. Okay. Chronos, time. Chronometer, time. That's not the word here. This is talking about a season, a kairos. When an appointed thing is happening at the right time. You're moving into a season. We are moving into the time of spring, prayerfully, in Ohio. When certain things are appointed to happen, okay? Friday is going to come. It is the season of, the time of Good Friday. This is the season of Passion Week, Resurrection Sunday. Not because of an ordered progression of events, because this is the appointed time to do certain things. So when Mark is saying, hey, the time is fulfilled, he's saying, hey, now is the time for something to happen. This is a season that is beginning, a season that's drawing near to you, a kairos. Now, it can be good, it can be bad. It can be big. It can be small. You shared a good one. You shared one that was both. For the most part, many of us, given the option, will share something good. The challenge is going to be in about 4 weeks, I'm going to ask you to bring something to the table that was hard, that was bad. It was a difficult season in your life. It can be good. It can be bad. It can be big. You know, having a child at 17, that's a big thing, right? That's massive. Friend giving me a box of books, not so big. But still something, you know, like God. The challenge is learning to recognize, oh, in the big and in the small, God might be doing something. God might be doing something. It can feel like a speed bump. It can feel like a brick wall. What's the difference between a speed bump and a brick wall?
Sudden stops.
Yeah. What's that?
Slowing and stop.
Yeah. Well, it'll slow you. I was dropping off the kids over at Duke, and they still got the stupid speed bumps there. And I think they got rid of some of them, but not all of them. But sure enough, and there's a reason that they're there. What did they do? They slow you down. Kind of make you get it, pay attention a little bit. Yeah, there are moments in life that are going to feel like a speed bump, a season, a time. There are some things that feel like a brick wall. It stops you dead in your tracks. You weren't looking for it, you didn't want it, but sure enough, it's like someone took your forehead and drove you into a brick wall. And now you need to figure out what you're gonna do. There are times, this is a time that's being fulfilled. You are being invited to participate in a time, in a season, okay? When my son was born, that was a life moment. Yeah. I will always remember, as long as I can remember things, driving home from the hospital for the first time with this squawking, squealing little thing in the back, confident that everything else in the world was an alien force that wanted to abduct and kill my child. I mean, never before had you seen defensive driving like I was driving defensively on that day 17 years ago. Absolutely. It was a good life moment. It was good. Significant. Up to that point, I don't know that I'd really wrestled with anything like that. My dad passing away. Big life moment. Negative. Harsh. Nothing wounds quite like the death of your father for a son. There's just something there that breaks and you feel it mortally almost. I had shared someone giving me a box of books. Like, not that big of a deal. I certainly didn't think it was a big deal until all of a sudden I started opening up these books and going through and having this experience. Yeah, all of a sudden. The question becomes, what do you do with that? Most of us, when these life moments hit, keep walking. We don't think anything of it. Or that we should think anything of it. Like, oh, life happens. We make bumper stickers about it, right? Life happens. Your challenge is going to become, how does this take me to another place in my walk? How does this take me to another place in my faith? How does this take me to a more rich place, a more deeper place? Most people experience life and it doesn't change them to the depth of which God would intend it. They just, life happens. You go to the Alps. Snow falls on the Alps. Snowflakes on one side of the peak. It will melt and turn into the Rhine River, which flows down through Northern Europe, through Germany, into the Netherlands, okay? Snowflake falls to the other side of the peak, okay? It melts and becomes the Rhone River, which flows down through into France and down into the Mediterranean. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. All depends on what side of that mountain it comes down on. Now, the Rhine River is known for being pretty dirty and yucky. And the Rhone's known for being pretty beautiful. All the matter of which way are we going to go? Are you going to maximize? Are you going to be intentional? Are you going to learn how to, in your own life and in the life of those people that are around you, recognize, oh, this is a season. This is a moment. This is something that's becoming something. And what does he say is drawing near? He says the kingdom is drawing near. Okay? Time is at hand. The kingdom is drawing near. What do you do with that? Well, you don't know yet. What we're going to do is we're going to give ourselves a common language, a way that we're going to talk about these experiences, what life moment means, what repentance means, what belief means, what kingdom space means. When we talk about prayer, what is character and what is provision and what is guidance? We talk about towards the end of our time, 7 months from now, 8 months from now, what does it mean to order various capitals in my life? What is relational capital? What is physical capital? What is spiritual capital? A shared language gives us a shared culture and a shared space so we can maneuver things together, okay? We're gonna learn how to come together and in a matter of 3 minutes, go through the circle. Any of you guys, I'm sure you've never done this, but have you ever been in a Bible study moment or just dinner, family, and someone starts to share and you know they're gonna talk for about 20 minutes. You're like, here they go. Here they go. And you're afraid to ask them, hey, how are things? Because you know they were good. They're good. They're just, and you won't be able to get away. You won't be able to get away. You need to be able to communicate where you are, what you're going through, and how you're handling it in a relatively concise period of time. If you can't do that, it probably speaks to the fact you haven't processed it very much, right? I have tremendous respect for communicators who can get up and say a lot in a very short period of time. Because what that tells me is, oh, they've thought about this. They've processed this. It's the communicator that gets up there and rambles and rambles and rambles that shares with me, I don't think they really know what's going on. So one of the skills that you're going to learn is, hey, this is where I am. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm going to do about it. Those questions that I gave you a couple weeks ago. What is he saying to you? What are you going to do about it? That invites you to a certain space. A discipleship space, a growing space. Questions or thoughts so far? I did not know my chair was going to be so squeaky. I apologize. We're going to let the life of Jesus and the model of Jesus and discipleship imprint upon our psyche. You're going to leave here with the confidence that when Jesus says, go make disciples, you know exactly what that means, and you know exactly how to do that. Up until this point, that verse at the end of Matthew's gospel can be pretty daunting and a little shaming, because he basically says, hey, plan A, go make disciples. Now what do I do? You're going to be able to move forward with the confidence of knowing, I know what a disciple is. I know how to make disciples. I know how to be a disciple. I follow Jesus by helping other people follow Jesus. So we're going to let Jesus' way of doing things imprint on us and shape us, shape our thinking, shape our understanding, so that we can then help others do the same thing. And we're going to come back together. We're going to practice. We're going to report. We're going to share. Jesus would do the same thing with his disciples, right? He'd send them off. Hey, I see you guys in a few weeks. Go share the kingdom. They'd come back. Hey, you're not going to believe this. We did this and we did this and we did this. That's awesome. That's great. We're going to do the same thing. You're going to be expected, wherever you're at, to share wherever you're at, okay? We all come from different experiences, different levels of understanding, of faith and scripture. We're at different places in the journey and following Christ. I'm not asking you to be someone else. I'm asking you to be you, which for many of us is going to be virgin territory, because many of us spend most of our time trying to be somebody else. It's going to be real hard to grow if you're trying to be somebody else. So let's learn where we're at. Let's get to the inside of things, okay? So let's talk about the circle. You have a piece of paper, right? We're going to fill in some lines. We're going to look at some verses. The first thing that we need to notice is, where'd the marker go? Yeah. All right, cool. What's it say, John, in that verse? The kingdom of God is drawn near. What do they need to do? And?
Believe.
Awesome. All right, so let's talk about that. On this side of the circle, write the word repent. On the right half of the circle, write repent. What's repent mean? Brandon, what's repent mean?
Confess your sins. And
okay.
Intention of going forward.
You sure?
What?
You sure?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. See, what do you think repent means?
Same thing, confess and
that's what he
no
said.
Sin no more.
Mix it up a little bit.
That's
sin no
what
more?
The Bible says.
Oh, all right. It's getting real. Okay, all right. Anyone else? Other insights, facets to what the word repent means?
To turn.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly what it means. At its base level, to repent means to turn, to change. Oftentimes, it will do something with sin. It might, something in my life, and my corruption and my treason has been brought to my attention by the beauty of the Holy Spirit, and it's my responsibility to turn from that, to change, specifically change my thinking. Okay? That's what repent means, to change my thinking about something. I was thinking one thing, now I need to think something else. It's an internal, it's an inside piece. If you have Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, 37 through 44. You know where Luke is. What you got? What you doing?
I did. I get my phone out. I'm right on it.
You get your phone out.
I'm going to the King James right here.
Yeah, you do that, buddy. You Luke 11. Could someone read 37 through 44? Everyone's going to read scripture. Everyone's going to read scripture out loud. That's just an important discipline.
I can.
Please, thank you.
While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you, Pharisee, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." I'm going to 44.
Yes, please.
Okay. "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisee, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it."
All right. You knew that was coming, right? I got you. Paul, can you put that short narrative into your own words? Broad strokes. Just give us the broad strokes.
A lot of woes in there, so be careful as you're going forward.
Okay, that's good. All right, good. Brandon, how about you? The exchange, just put it in your own words. The BJV.
You put on a good show, but what inside is?
Yeah, all right, so let's get to that. Yeah, it's that inside piece that he's really nailing him, right? That's kind of what we're doing. He's like, all right, so you're so concerned that I wash my hands before I eat the hamburger. When the real concern is, what's going on the inside? And what is, if we deal with the inside, it will flow to the outside. Inside, then outside. We all know and have been around and maybe even practiced in our own church culture, we can do a great job dressing up the outside, right? I mean, the amount of costume changes and makeup work that happens from that door to that door every Sunday morning, right? The transformation, people could get Oscars, right? I mean, we all know, because we've done it. Some of us who are the parents of younger kids, we know very well what was going on in the car and what we had to pull off before we walked through that door and anyone saw us. Well, but Jesus said the challenge is what? The real challenge is the inside work. If we learn how to deal with the inside, if we do the hard, heavy lifting of the interiority of your life, oh, then the outside will take care of itself. Okay? So we need to unpack repent. On the back of that page is some verses from James. James 1, 22 through 25. Could someone read that one out loud who hasn't read yet? Thank you, B.
"But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves,
being perseveres.
No, I'm sorry, perseveres.
Not jam, perseveres. It's not jam, it's, yeah.
And perseveres, being no hearer
yeah.
who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing."
Spot on. Miss Amanda King, could you put that passage into your own words?
I have to read again because that's how I process
yep.
things.
Please
I,
do.
I have
yep.
to read it a couple
Yep.
So.
Yep. Just what jumps out to you.
Yeah. I mean, don't just sit around and do nothing.
Yep.
Go out and act on it.
Yeah. All right. So the mirror, right? The mirror. So when it comes to repentance, part of this is reflect. So on the page around that line that's at 2 o'clock on the circle, right in the word reflect, a mirror. I have 3 teenage boys. Oh my goodness, they'll stare at themselves in the mirror all day long. All day long. They'll look at themselves, they'll walk away, then they'll go and they'll look again. And sure enough, they'll stand there and they'll push this hair to the side, and they'll push this hair to the side. There is an aspect of repentance that involves reflection. I am in a season, something has happened. It's a speed bump, it's a brick wall, and the Holy Spirit is inviting me to think about it. To brood on it. To process it. To wrestle with it. The law of God's love and His grace is drawn near to me. I've seen something about myself. Oh, I gotta think on this. I need to take a long walk and a cup of tea. It's silence, it's stillness. It's not active, it's not boisterous, it's not bold, it's not big. I'm entering into a place of reflection. How many of you have experienced or know what I'm talking about in the Christian life? And maybe it wasn't even something that you wanted to do. Just the magnitude of that life moment, the cognitive dissonance that it created in your soul, you couldn't do anything except sit and process. And maybe your body said, hey, you know what? We're just going to do without food for a while because we really need to drill down on this. Like you didn't even decide to fast in the moment. It just, your body said, hey, we need to all get on board here. So let's enter this space. Last Thursday, one of our covenant members had passed away. Her name was Brenda. Maybe you knew Brenda. She sat right there in the windows while Vonnie counted. Great soul. Beautiful person, loved her to pieces. She'd send me texts almost every other day, praying, asking questions about the Bible, asking questions about my family. Great, great thing. I got that text at 5 a.m., okay? She passed away at 5 a.m., Fonnie shot me a note right away. I'm not really ready for that text. It came out of nowhere. There was no preparation for it. It was brick wall. And it was probably 48 hours of just numbness. Like, I don't know how to think on this. I don't know how to process this. It demands reflection. When I went to the funeral home, just to check in with the family before doing the service, I just put my hand on Brenda's son, and I said, hey, how you doing? He immediately breaks down. He said, I'm not doing too good, Pastor. I said, all right, well, let's go sit somewhere. Let's go talk. Let's work this out. And he's just Niagara Falls. He's lived in Oklahoma since he graduated from high school. So he hasn't been home, and that's what he was struggling with. He was struggling with the fact he hadn't been around, okay? And he was really grieving. And I just had to tell him, I said, you know what? The fact that you're grieving and you're sad is a beautiful, important thing. If you weren't doing that, then I'd be really concerned. Now, these are big life moments. These are massive things. What's important for us is that we need to enter into a place of reflection. A place of reflection. Now, our challenge is we really only see things from one side, don't we? We only have our perspective, our historical context and experience. And so, in addition to reflection, we need share. We need to share. We we have a circle, maybe, and we're going to learn to cultivate this circle, practicing it amongst ourselves of, hey, this is what I'm going through, and this is how I'm seeing it. What do you see? What do you think? Is this something that God could be saying to me? Is this something that the Spirit would reveal? Is this something consistent with my story? Will you help me process this? Seeking the guidance of the community. Another passage in the back of your sheet from James chapter 5. Could someone read 13 through 16?
I'll read it.
Thank you, sir.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working.
Mm. And we're going to go through it one more time. What I want you to notice when we go through the passage this time is all the together components. He's going to list a lot of different, you know, almost in each different verse, there's going to be a different together thing that's going to happen. Stephen, can you read it one more time?
Sure. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
All right. As we look at that passage, how many different components do we see? Okay. Situations, life moments. There's a life moment and it leads someone to praise, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Right? I mean, we've been there, right? Maybe God did a great thing, and we're praising and we're singing, and maybe you're in there on Sunday morning and the song hits you and you get all the feels and you get all the tears coming down. You're like, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you so much. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. Okay, what's another life moment that comes up in that passage?
When they're sick?
Yeah. Yeah, what am I supposed to do when I'm sick? Pray. And do what? Call my peeps. Hey, I need some prayer. I need some prayer. What's some other life moment that's in there?
Suffering.
Dude, I'm going through hell right now. Yeah. What else?
Someone committed sin.
You played it at Steve. Someone sinned.
No, I was trying to find it on here. Guilty.
Aren't we all? I didn't. He did it. How about that? What about a context where you're confessing your sins one to another? Why don't we do that?
Because we're ashamed of them.
Okay. Why are we ashamed of them?
Because we fear we'll be judged.
What's that?
We fear judgment.
Sure. Why do we fear judgment?
Because we know it's wrong.
Okay, because we know it's wrong. It's a vicious cycle. It's a real vicious cycle, okay? Let's say I'm not the only sinner here, okay?
Let's just say.
I mean, I don't want to judge. I mean, I do a lot, but let's just say I'm not the only sinner, and maybe, you know, it wasn't a great week for me, and I said some things that I shouldn't say, or I did some things that I shouldn't have done. But I have enough wherewithal to take God at his word, knowing that God seeks my restoration, God seeks my healing. And so I'm going to share these things within the context of the community. Hey, you know what? Aiden did this, and I just want to take his head off, and I didn't want to get caught, so I did it verbally. And I know I crushed his spirit, and I know it was wrong. In the context of that moment of honesty, what does it solicit from the group? What are you more likely to do in my moment of honest vulnerability?
The example that you gave, it takes me back to what I've said or done or I did to my kid. Because you're giving an example of your son.
Yep.
So that's what it takes me to is,
yeah.
Hey, well, you know, I've kind of been there too, man. I mean,
it's an understanding.
It's an understanding.
At least it's empathy.
At least it's empathy. It diffuses shame. It fosters forgiveness and honesty. It's the cycle can go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If I'm not honest, it's going to foster more unhonesty. That's not a word.
Dishonest.
Well, it is dishonest in the fact that we're not being honest about it. If I'm not transparent, you're not going to be transparent. If you're not transparent, I'm not going to be transparent. But if I come to a space where I am willing to lay myself out there, knowing that this is what needs to happen for my own personal restoration, it releases in you, this is a safe space. This is a safe space. We all need to grow in this if we're gonna walk alongside younger believers who struggle with the same thing. Some of you who are life group leaders or have led discussion groups, you know this and you've heard it from me. If you want them to share, that means you're gonna have to share first. It's just the way it is. But if you look at that passage in James 5, it is relationship after relationship after relationship. Something good happened, let's praise God, we'll do it together. Hey, you suffering? Hey, I'm suffering with you. I'm weeping with you, we're praying with you. Hey, did you have a bad day? Yeah, I had a bad day. Hey, are you sick? Let me pray for you. It's the context of sharing. I'm gonna reflect on it, we're gonna share it, you're gonna help me process it. At some point through my own discernment or through the discernment of the community, it's time we've changed our thinking, okay? We've come to a place of recognition that, oh, this life moment is prompting. So we're gonna move from repent to believe. Write that on the left side of the circle, everybody. All right, what does believe mean?
You know, believe.
Do not use the word in the definition. What does it mean to believe?
Have an understanding of something that you cannot prove.
Okay, all right.
To know as truth.
To know as truth, all right. Elaine, what's believe mean?
I was gonna say to have faith.
To have to have belief.
You got
me. Yeah.
But you didn't say the word faith, so it was good.
How would I know you believe?
Trust comes to my mind.
Okay, trust is a good one, yep. How would I know you trust, Paul?
How would you know I trust?
Yeah.
Wow. We're gonna pull back some layers there, aren't we?
Too early? Too soon? Too soon?
It's only week one.
I mean the classic example is this. Okay. Can the chair hold me up? Can the chair hold me up? Okay. I believe the chair can hold me up. But that's not really true until what?
Until you take action.
Until I sit in the chair. Okay? Belief is active transformation. It means an alignment from the inside and the outside. If it's what's on the inside, it's not going to come out on the outside. Okay? Okay? It's active. Belief is active. If I believe Jesus can heal me, then you will see me doing the active things that align with that internal conviction. I'm going to be praying for healing. I'm going to be seeking healing. I'm going to be doing those things. If I believe that God can right my finances, that means I'm going to take the steps of belief, meaning I'm going to practice tithing, and I'm going to practice generosity. I'm going to do the things that fuel that. Okay? Inside into outside. Okay? That means belief starts with a plan. Write plan in at 7 o'clock on the circle. I've spent maybe weeks or months or maybe days reflecting and sharing and coming to a change of thought about a certain thing. God's brought something to my attention. The Holy Spirit has brought something across my path. Okay, but that's just the repentance part. Yep, I'm thinking differently about it. Now I need to actually believe it. Now I need to actually come up with a plan. Okay? Let's say it's finances, just because that one's easy. Okay, we haven't been tithing. We don't tithe, and I've been, finances are tanking. As I believe that God's maybe says I need to start tithing. So what am I going to do? I'm going to create a plan. I'm going to come alongside of those, and we're going to develop. All right, this is what you need to be doing. But any of you guys good at doing hard things in the beginning?
No. That's where other people come in.
Yeah. So I'm going to need a partner. Partner at 9 o'clock. The first Wednesday of every month, I go away to a very quiet place. It's supposed to be quiet. It wasn't quiet today. In Ludlow Falls, there's a Catholic retreat center. And there's a cabin there that I go to, and I walk down to the river, and there's a bench, and it gets quiet. It's awesome. I love it. I noticed when I got there, it was more loud than it should be. And sure enough, there were about 20 cars of co-eds hopping out, stretching. And I'm saying to myself, I know exactly what's about to happen. They're all going to go run the trails. And sure enough, that's exactly what they were doing. Here I am, sitting and praying, talking to my Jesus, and every 30 seconds, 45 seconds, four or five co-eds, men, women, in their little packs were running the trails. Running the trails. They were all in groups. I'd imagine they were told to be in groups. I have found, even though I'm not very good at it, running is a whole lot easier if you do it in some groups, especially in the beginning, right? If I asked Amanda to help me with running, she'd probably hook me up with a group. We have a plan. That plan probably won't go anywhere until you share it with a partner. I think God is asking me to do something. I think God is pushing me towards something. This partner is someone who's probably ought be a few more steps down the path than you are. This is probably not your best friend, and it's probably not your spouse, because for the most part, you can dodge your spouse pretty well if you feel you have to.
I disagree.
I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm not saying that you're being malicious, but this is the person who has to have the authority and the empowerment to say the hard things to your face, okay? And it's probably someone of the same gender, okay? In fact, it really should be. It really should be, okay? Okay? Plan, I'm gonna bring in a partner, and then you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna act. I'm gonna follow the plan. I'm gonna do it. The last passage on the back of your sheet, Acts and James chapter 2, 14 through 18. Could someone read that, please, who hasn't read yet?
I can read it.
Thank you.
What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
I will show you my faith by my works. Show me. Show me. I believe this. All right, show me. Show me. Oh, God kind of laid it on my heart that I needed to clean up my language. Show me. The fruit of repentance, it says in the Gospels. All right, if God has laid that upon your heart and you know and you've discerned the fact that the Spirit's prompting something in you, show me. That doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect day to day to day to day, but that means that we're going to start to conform to that truth. That we've gone through repentance, we've changed our mind. You know, the way I'm speaking isn't life-giving to my spouse. It's not life-giving to my son, Aiden. I need to talk differently. So I've developed a plan. I've started to memorize verses that have to do with language. I've started to practice being generous and kind with my words. I've brought a partner into it, and I'm doing those things. And by God's grace, through perseverance, my language changes. I've come to this life moment and I'm not the same anymore. He's brought me to a deeper, richer place in my faith. He's brought me to a deeper, richer place in my faith. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? What is God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? I've seen some of you go through this and you didn't even realize that you were going through it, but you've experienced the fruit of it on the other side. You came up to me a little while ago, a couple years ago, because God was saying something to you, right? And you did something about it. And where did it take your faith? Right, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
To a higher level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. B, you and I have had some of the same experiences, right? God said some things to you. And you did something about it. Yeah. We want to learn to always to be in that space. These things aren't going to happen all the time, you know? You might come back in a couple weeks, nothing right now. That's okay. That's okay. Just be a part of the context of care and compassion. Be a good listener. Be a good practicer. Or all of a sudden, boom, speed bump, boom, brick wall. Like, okay. Let me reflect on this. Let me share this with my people. Let's work on a plan. Let's bring in a partner. Let's work the plan. Let's see what God wants to do. Okay? So the next time we get together, let's share that. Could be good. Could be bad. More than anything, maybe just identify the tension. Okay? My wife is a physical therapist. She's been a physical therapist for long time. I mean, she's only 22, but she's been a physical therapist for 20 years. She can tell you exactly what the muscle is and where it's attached, and she can tell you exactly what the tendons are. She can tell you exactly everything about it. She knows inside and out, inside and out. You know what I can do? It hurts here. This is where the hurt is. Oh, she's like, oh, that's this head of the bicep. It might be enough right now just to say, hey, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this in this area of my spiritual life. Story from my own journey. Okay. About 6 months ago, God, through my prayer time and my reading time, was confronting my eating habits. Okay. I come from an obese family culture. We medicate with food. We like food. We're good at making food. We like sharing food. Just the way it's been. Okay? Dad, who died morbidly obese, battled diabetes, neuropathy, and everything that went along with it. My mom, diabetes, overweight. All my siblings. Okay? You guys see me? I was almost 300 pounds. 300 pounds 6 months ago. Biggest I've ever been. Starting to feel it all over my body. To the point where it's not just, oh, that's inflammation. No, it's the Holy Spirit saying, dude, you're running out of time. I can only slow this down so much. Paul, you're going to get to a threshold where we can't walk this sucker back. That makes sense. Okay? I was feeling it here. I started to have conversations with people. Why? Because I feel like God's saying something to me. And there was also a shame factor, because when I finally brought this to my wife, she almost slapped me so hard it knocked me out of bed. She's like, why didn't you tell me about this ahead of time, before this? Why'd you wait so long? Because I'm a guy and I'm shameful, right? That's what it is. I'm a guy and I'm shameful. I'd ask for people's input. I knew that I had to do something that was relatively drastic. I have another prayer partner, and I'd shared some things with them. They shared what they had done and what the process was that they were using. And so, like, hey, you know what? I think I need to do this. But it was a big commitment. It's a big commitment. I mean, I've been doing it for 3 months. It's a huge, huge, huge decision. And so I did my research and I said, all right, this is going to be a financial commitment. I started running the numbers because I need a plan. I reflected. I started sharing. I need to put a plan together. Brought my boys into it. Brought my wife into it. Brought the elders of the church into it. Brought some people on the staff, just who are around me. Okay? Partner. Now I'm working the plan. I'm 50 pounds down. Okay? 50 pounds down. I got to the funeral yesterday and I didn't have a belt because my belt didn't fit anymore. But my pants really needed a belt. So I had thrown the black belt away because it didn't do what a black belt needed to do. But I'm like, man, I gotta do a funeral in like 15 minutes. I'm running up to Kohl's trying to find a belt that works. Praise God. All that to say, hey, this is what I did. I reflected, I shared, plan, partner, act. You need to do the same things. And for right now, you know, a couple weeks from now, I think we're April 19th. April 19th, you know, the next time we get together. Just share the tension. This is where I feel it. Okay? Knowing nothing is going to happen until you say it out loud. Okay? Lane, you all right? Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to happen until you say it out loud. That's just the way it works, guys. I'd love to say that you could keep it all on the inside. Nothing happens. How did he create the world? What did he do?
He spoke it.
When Jesus healed someone, what did he do? He spoke it. I'm here. I'm feeling. I'm thinking. And it could be big. It could be great. It could be good. It could be harsh. It could be the darkest thing. Dude, it's up to you. I'm not gonna do this weird pastor thing where I just stare at you knowing all your deep, dark secrets. I just pretend to be like that because I think it's cool. I really don't. I mean, you can keep your secrets to yourself, but nothing is going to happen. The Spirit of God's not going to do anything until you hold him at his word, meaning you're going to say it out loud. And then some amazing things start to happen. We're going to reflect. We're going to share. We'll plan. Partner. Not everyone might share next time, okay? We're just going to practice.
Do you think that someone can go through that in a way but not ever have shared something or have someone come along with them on it?
Oh, yeah. I believe there's genuine moments of repentance that are outside the context of community, but I think there's so much more fruit because when I share it with you, now I've grown in my capacity to trust another human being, and you grow in your capacity to care. Does that make sense? So yeah, can I grow outside of other people? Yeah, you can, but lasting change and deeper relationship and unity, which is what the Holy Spirit wants. Yeah, that's why that passage in James, hey, let's praise together. Let's sing together. Let's suffer together. Let's confess together. Let's do these things together. Because we're the body. We're the body of Christ, right? We're the body of Christ, which means, hey, if one of us suffers, we all suffer. One of us hurts, we all hurt. One of us praises, we all praise. We need each other. Yeah. You are going to get an email. Mrs. King, before you go, if I could get a good email for you, that'd be very helpful. One that you will actually get. Don't give me a fake one. Okay? Because that will be like your attendance reminders. Don't forget, you've got a group coming up. So that will be in your inbox. You will also receive link information for the resources and the audio files of this class that you can go to. It's a private page on the website, but if by chance you miss like tonight, the Williams is out of town, Christy's out of town, Karen has family in. You can go get caught up on the audio file, you can download resources, so those things are available. Okay, so you get the information on hand how you handle that. Any questions or thoughts so far? Mr. Brown.
You know, what keeps popping in my mind is the last verse that you read, the act part.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have slowly learned how to keep a simple type person, but.
That's, I need the cookies on the bottom shelf.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm so fat.
By the way, every time you say that, man, I get hungry.
Carrot sticks. Who puts carrot sticks on the bottom shelf, Barb? Not
people
nearly as
aren't
fun.
Aren't eating cookies anymore.
Oh, that's right. Right. That's fine. Good, sir.
It's the act. The James 2, 14 to 18. That last sentence. You know, show me your faith apart from your words, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's the action is louder than words. It's the
yes.
It's that old saying you heard growing up all the time. You know, your actions are gonna be louder than your words.
100%.
I don't know why that just crabs me quite a bit. Because it gets crazy, but understanding the repent part,
yeah,
and then kind of slowly piece it together. It's like you said earlier, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the share, the reflection, the come up with a plan, and then the action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's the military, that foundation. I like the action part. Louder than words, better
Marines,
than words.
Tell you what, man.
that's kind of what I don't know, it keeps on my brain.
I appreciate it. And is repentance a bad thing?
No.
Why do we treat it that way? Why do we treat repentance the same way we treat death sometimes? Isn't this the means by which, the mechanism by which God puts the pieces back together again? Yeah, exactly. So, and it's gonna take time, okay? Some of you guys are strangers to each other. Most of you are all strangers to each other's faith because we do such a great job putting on our costumes and our makeup before we walk in that door. That to genuinely say, hey, this is where I'm at, okay? I'm gonna read a prayer. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. We're just going to be quiet in a quiet space. Okay? This is between you, the Spirit. You have these questions in the back of your mind. What are you saying to me? What do I need to do about it? What are you saying to me? What do I need to do about it? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Belief that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is my prayer for you. This is how I prayed for you this morning. Is that through our time together, this would overflow within you, and that you will be then able to go and help it overflow in others. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to smile on you, be gracious to you. May you know his smile this week. And he will give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.